Before we go into this evening's practice again, let's just have a little review of what we've covered today. So in terms of the mindfulness training, we're mainly focusing today on focusing on the breath in the area of the nostrils. So remember, again, probably the breath is going to be the best object to use in this mindfulness training for probably most of you, or many of you at least. And it's the one that's probably emphasized most in many Buddhist traditions. And within the breath practice, of course, we saw we had those three variations of the breath practice, focusing on the full body, which is what we do now, particularly in the evening sessions. This is very good for working with relaxation. So, of course, with this practice, the emphasis is on relaxation. But, of course, this could be a valid practice to use as the mindfulness training, particularly using the corpse posture, the Shavasana posture, as we're doing in the evening sessions here. Particularly if you want to do an extra meditation in the evening before you go to bed, then this could be a very, very good option as a way of doing mindfulness training, but also as a way of releasing any tightness or tension from the day, physical and mental as well, and as a transition into sleep. Then, of course, we briefly looked at yesterday the focusing on the area of the abdomen. This is very good for emphasizing stability of attention, particularly together with counting or noting the breath. And then today we're working mainly with the area in the entrance of the nostrils, a very much smaller object and very suitable for improving the clarity of attention. But remember, with all those variations of the breath practice, we need to have on the basis of relaxation that we can stabilize the mind and then try to improve the clarity of attention. And with all of those practices, of course, quality over quantity. And then for the emotional balance training we looked at today, we looked at a couple of things. We looked at first anger. We looked at within those three poisons that are identified within Buddhism that the foundation of all of our mental imbalance from a Buddhist perspective is this mind of ignorance, this misunderstanding of reality, this misunderstanding of how we exist and how the world around us exists. And by relating to ourselves and the world in an incorrect way, that leads to this instinctive reaction of attachment to pleasant experiences, aversion to unpleasant experiences, and then all the other mental imbalances and mental afflictions come out of those. So we looked at attachment yesterday, and saw how attachment is very destructive and how actually attachment is very different to loving kindness. They're really diametrically opposite. And then today we looked at anger and we saw how anger is very destructive. Also, with the anger, we looked at why is it that we tend to get angry with people who behave badly. Why do we find it difficult to have compassion or forgiveness for them? Then we looked at this whole idea of cognitive fusion, that we are wrongly identifying others with their behavior. We are also wrongly identifying ourselves with our own behavior. And generally, unfortunately, in our modern society, we tend to have a high focus on the negative side of things. So not only are we fusing, but we tend to fuse on the negative. So we tend to identify others with their negative behaviors, negative habits, and sort of negative speech. We also identify ourselves very strongly with our negative thoughts and negative emotions, negative habits, and negative behaviors. And of course, if we do this, then we end up with either attacking the other person or accepting their negative behavior. And with respect to ourselves, we end up with attacking ourselves. We end up with low self-esteem and self-hatred. So again, here then, to avoid the cognitive fusion, because it's an invalid perspective, because there are two things here. There is the person and then there's their behavior. And we need to distinguish the person from their behavior. The person is not their behavior. We are not our behavior. We are not our thoughts. We are not our emotions. These are all things which we have. So if we correctly understand that these are all things which we have and what other people have, then we can relate to ourselves and others in a much more constructive way than reacting out of anger. And then, of course, we had a look at the four immeasurables very briefly, particularly focusing on the first two of loving kindness and compassion. And we looked at a meditation there called Tong Len, this giving and taking meditation, which is very widely practiced meditation for really helping us to cultivate this mind of loving kindness and compassion. Also very powerful meditation for helping us to overcome our selfish motivation and in turn to replace that with the mind of cherishing others. And this selfish motivation is something we're going to be looking at a little bit tomorrow afternoon in terms of our emotional balance training. And then the empathetic joy and equanimity are two qualities that we're going to be focusing on tomorrow as well in our emotional balance work. So that is a little bit what we've covered today. And then tomorrow, what we're going to do in our mindfulness training, we're going to focus on the mind as the object of our practice instead of the breath. Now, maybe some of you will find this quite challenging tomorrow because, again, we tend not to have developed the capacity to observe our own mind. We tend to get caught up in our mental events or try to suppress them if we don't like them. But again, there are enormous benefits to doing this practice, so we're going to have a number of sessions working with this practice tomorrow. And I think you'll find that if we can persevere with this practice, then we can bring enormous benefits in our daily life. We'll become really the masters of our mind instead of the slaves of our mind. So that's what we'll be looking at tomorrow in terms of the mindfulness training, and then in terms of the emotional balance work. Again, we're going to be looking more in the afternoon at the, initially we're going to look at the imbalance of this selfish motivation and how really destructive that is. We're going to look at some methods of how to deal with selfish motivation, how to replace that with the mind of cherishing others. And also we're going to look at the empathetic joy and equanimity in more detail and the practices that go associated with those. So that's a little bit the program for tomorrow. Now, before we go into this evening's practice again, does anyone have any questions from anything we've covered today? Okay. What I'd like to do then before we begin this evening's practice is I'd like to add one more thing to this practice. So remember, this practice we're doing is a very good practice, not only as a meditation in itself, but as a good transition to go to sleep. So this practice you can do every evening, because every evening we go to bed. So when you go to bed, then you just simply lie down in the corpse posture, the Shavasana posture, and then do this mindfulness practice for as long as you can sustain some alertness, and relaxing and releasing any tightness and tension in the body, relaxing and releasing any tightness and tension in the mind. So this is a very relaxing practice, a very inviting practice, and very good for releasing any tightness or tension in the body and the mind that we may have built up during the day. And then if we're doing this practice in the evening as a transition to sleep, then we just simply do this practice as long as we can maintain some alertness. That may only be a few minutes, it may be 5, 10, 15 minutes. And then when we start to get a bit sleepy, drowsy, then just mentally note, okay, my meditation's come to an end, and then move out of that posture into whatever posture you use for sleep. But then there's one other thing I think we can do at the end of every day, which is a very good way to sort of wind up the day. And that is to do a little bit of a review of the day. How did our day go? And then we can do two things. Firstly, of course,
we would like to sort of purify our mind of any negative thoughts and negative habits and negative imprints in our mind. So what we can do as a part of a purification process and as a way of actually processing any negativities that we've got caught up in the middle of the day, during the day, is we can go through a process which in Buddhism is called the Four Opponent Powers. So these are four things we can do to sort of really purify our mind of negativities and negative habits and negative behaviours. The first of the four opponent powers is regret. Is that if we've noticed that we've engaged in some harmful negative behaviour during the day, is develop some sincere regret for having done that negative behaviour. So again, here we need to distinguish between regret and guilt. So remember, guilt is simply based on cognitive fusion, which is a false perspective. So we never need to feel guilty about anything, because actually guilt is completely useless. All it does is it makes us feel bad and it paralyzes us. It doesn't even really address our negative behavior. Whereas regret is based on a correct perspective. The correct perspective of simply acknowledging, I have done this negative behavior. So this is based on the correct perspective, and with regret, we are focusing on the behavior, which can be the first steps towards overcoming that negative behavior. So if we develop some sincere regret for having done that negative behavior, we're already weakening our habit of engaging in that negativity. The second of the four opponent powers is what's called reliance, or sometimes translated as foundation. So what this is that all of us have a sort of foundation or platform in our life. We all have a certain positive direction that we want to follow in our life. So that is our foundational basis in our life, that we all are striving for a certain good direction in our life. Whereas, of course, if we have done something harmful or negative, we've sort of fallen down from our foundation. So the second step is about picking ourselves back up and reaffirming the positive direction that we want to follow in our life. And that can be something very, very precise. You know, we could have a very precise direction we want to follow in our life in terms of not only maybe not wishing to harm others, but wishing to really help others. Whatever the positive direction that we are trying to follow in our life is simply at this point to reaffirm that positive direction. And so that will, of course, work against any negativity that we've been engaging in. The third of the four opponent powers is what's called remedy. So remedy is to think of some sort of practical antidote or remedy to the negativity. For example, if we said something very harsh, verbally criticized someone unjustly at work during the day, then one remedy could be simply go and apologize to them. So with the remedy, it's very helpful to do something directly positive opposite to the negative action that we did, if that is logistically possible. Sometimes it's not logistically possible to have something directly opposite for whatever reason. Then a helpful remedy would be to do any positive action with a motivation of wishing to overcome that negative habit. That also can be a very strong remedy. So any positive action with a motivation, by doing this, I wish to overcome this negative behavior. So this can also be very helpful. And the last point is resolve. And resolve here is to make a strong resolve, resolution or determination to not engage in that negative behaviour again. But here we need to be very practical. If the negative thing we did is a strong habit that we engage in, then there's no point in saying, I'm never going to do that thing again, because it's just not going to happen. For example, if we're the sort of person that tells a lot of lies, then there's no point in saying, I'm never going to lie again, because we've just told another lie. So, therefore, if it's a strong negative habit, something that maybe you do very regularly, maybe even more than once a day, set a time limit and say, okay, for the next day, I'm not going to do that thing. If that's way too difficult, for the next hour, I'm not going to do that thing. If that's way too difficult, for the next 10 minutes, I'm not going to do that thing. So pick an amount of time that with some effort, normally you can manage. And then over time, you can extend it from 10 minutes to 15 minutes to half an hour to an hour, 2 hours, a day, a week, a month, a year, the rest of your life. In that way, you can really even break very strong negative habits. So these are 4 things we can do that can be very helpful to overcome our negative tendencies, negative habits, negative behaviours. So ideally, of course, if we've engaged in some harmful behaviour, as soon as we've realised that, we can run through those 4 things. We can immediately regret having done or said that thing, reaffirm our positive direction in life, think of and implement some sort of practical remedy, and then make a strong determination not to do that again for whatever period of time we can manage. So ideally we can do this as soon as we notice that. But at least what we can do in a practical way is at the end of the day to do a day's review and go through these 4 opponent powers. And then if we do that on a day review basis, then to make it sort of manageable, then ideally just pick a couple of the strongest ones, because maybe we can notice a lot of little things, little negativities we've done throughout the day. So then really just focus on sort of maybe the top 3 or something, the 3 most heavy negative things that we did or said during the day. Because if we make this exercise too long at the end of the day, we're not going to implement it. So keep it brief and keep to the main issues. And if we do that at the end of the day, not only is it a very powerful way to deal with those negativities, but also it can also help with the transition to sleep. Because often if we've engaged in some harmful negative behaviour during the day, end of the day we're still churning it over in our mind, churning it, and then we find it difficult to sleep as well. We can't seem to let go of it. Whereas if we go through this process, then we can really process it and release it. And that can also be very helpful for going into sleep as well. So this is something we can do at the end of every day. So we can do this once we've laid down in bed, before we do the meditation, the Shavasana meditation, because once we finish that, we're probably already starting to get drowsy, we can just go into sleep. Whereas first we just lie down and we do the day review. But also I think very important here is to focus also on the positive things we did during the day. Because we have so much focus on the negative, and we also focus on the negative with cognitive fusion. So when we do the day's review, maybe pick the top 3 negative things, go through this process, and then also go through the day and pick the top 3 positive things during the day. And then we can do... We can rejoice in that behaviour. So again, this is a little bit this empathetic joy. So the empathetic joy with respect to ourselves, we can rejoice in having done that positive behaviour during the day. But again, as with the regret, we don't want to do cognitive fusion, because if we do cognitive fusion here, we simply end up with guilt. If we do cognitive fusion here, then we may just start to boast about ourselves. We get a sort of a puffed up state of mind thinking we're special. So rather than praising ourselves, rejoicing in ourselves, we rejoice in our positive behaviour. To really be happy, rejoice in having done that positive action. and that will motivate us to do it again the following day. And so then the second point we can do, of course, is make a strong resolve to continue to engage in this positive behaviour the following day, the following week, or the rest of our life, as you like. So these are things that we can do with the positive side, is rejoice and then make a strong determination to continue to engage in that positive behaviour. And that will, of course, strengthen our positive behaviours and our positive attitudes and so forth, and positive tendencies. And that will also provide a balance to our day. Because, again, if we engage in a lot of cognitive fusion, we're focusing on the negative, then we're going to have a very biased, false view of ourselves. So very important, I think, to do this as well. So we can go through the day doing this, and then following up by doing this, to focus on at least the three top positive things during the day. So I think this is a very good way of then finishing the day. And also, what you will find, of course, is that if we do this sort of day review on every day, after some time, you're probably going to start to notice some trends, both on the positive and the negative. You're probably going to start to notice, wow, I really sort of say a lot of harsh things to people. I didn't really notice that before. So we can start to pick that up. And we can also start to then pick up some trends in the positive side, and that can really motivate us to get more enthusiastic about engaging in more positive behaviour as well. So this is something we can do at the end of every day as well, before we do the corpse posture mindfulness practice. Any questions about that before we jump into the practice? Yeah. Right. Sure.
And sometimes we were in a certain situation for a prolonged time, and which is not very nice, and it's not really within our control. So how do you deal with that? It is neither reversing nor negative. It's something beyond my control, and I am in that.
So you find yourself maybe in a difficult situation on a regular basis, then, as we said, we can then see that difficult, we can try to see that difficult situation as an opportunity to develop ourselves. Because actually, you know, to really develop, the times in our life where we most develop as a person is not when things are going well in our life. Generally, if things are going well in our life, we just sort of drift along and not really develop as a person. It's only when we're faced with these difficult situations that it forces us to really develop as a person. So, therefore, if we can understand that, then we can try to use those difficult situations as an opportunity for our spiritual growth. Of course, as a beginner, if the situation is very heavy and we can't manage to work with it, and it just overwhelms us all the time, then we need to look at some way of, at least, if we can't get out of that situation altogether, at least look at some way of reducing the contact in that situation in the beginning phase, to be able to step back as much as we can. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes these are involved partners or family and so forth, and it's very hard to move away. I mean, of course, if it's a destructive workplace, then maybe we can look for another job in another place or something. But if it's, you know, if it's our someone within the family, then, of course, we can't choose our family. But at least we can maybe step back a little bit while we work on ourselves to develop ourselves a little bit more, so that we can face these difficult situations. Because the reality is that these sort of difficult situations really are one of the main reasons people really develop a lot in the spiritual path. And so it's only, of course, if we can manage to deal with that difficult situation, then it really can provide us fuel for our spiritual practice. If it's too overwhelming, then in whatever way we can, try to give yourself a little bit of distance or breathing space while you're working on yourself to take advantage of that later. I think that's what we can do. Oh, sorry, you made a point which is a very good point.
Here, with this rejoicing, I think also, and I forgot to mention that, but you brought it up, it's a very good point, is we can also then not only do this rejoicing with respect to ourselves, but with others. So if we also, someone at work, or we saw someone on the news or something, did something really fantastic during the day, is to really rejoice in that, their behaviour. And then we can also then aspire to engage in that sort of behaviour as well. So this can also be very, very helpful to do. Because again, focusing on the positive, because again, in the news, in the newspaper, it's all negative, 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 negative. So if we can then really rejoice in things that we see during the day, also as part of the evening, that can be very helpful to give us a balanced view, not of our only of ourselves, but of others as well. Yeah, sorry. If you're working with someone, yeah. 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 So, of course, with these sorts of practices, when we come to talk about meditation and mental balance, to begin to do some of these practices, then we really sort of need a minimum level of mental health to begin to do these practices. And if we're below that level of mental health, I mean, if someone is heavily depressed and then you get asked them to sort of focus on their breath, you know, maybe it's going to be a bit difficult. Fortunately, what we're finding now is that there's a lot of work being done in these areas to bridge from that state to be able to use these practices. And of course, when they're very heavy depression and so forth, maybe as a first step, some sort of medication might be helpful to bring them up to a certain level. And then when they've got up to sort of a minimum level of mental health, then what's a lot of work is being done now in various fields relating to mental health issues of adopting these things like mindfulness training, emotional balance and so forth, adopting them and adjusting them for that specific particular need. And then using the same core principles, but packaging it in a way specific for that particular need. And then maybe with the help of a little bit of medication and that sort of package, then bring them up to that sort of level of mental health where then they can use this sort of approach. And I've talked to a number of people, particularly to do with depression, who've really been quite depressed and have had like quite heavy medication, and then they've managed to find themselves in the situation where they can begin to start to use some of these techniques, and then slowly they've been managed to reduce their dependence on the medication. And in some cases I've talked to, they don't need any medication at all. In some other cases, minimal, very rare, they need a little bit of medication. So this is, a lot of work is being done in this area. There's things like mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, which I think is particularly used for helping people with depression and so forth. So this is all this mindfulness-based practices specifically tailored for those specific needs. So I think it's very fortunate that a lot of work is being done in this area because, you know, generally within psychology, you know, they're trying to sort of bring people up to that sort of level of health, and then the Buddhism is assuming that, or these sorts of practices assuming already you have that minimum level of mental health. And so I think this, where a lot of these new practices where psychology now are using a lot of the, basing their therapies a lot on these mindfulness techniques,
there's a bridging a gap there for people, and that's very nice to see that a lot of work is being done in that area these days. And I think that's a very interesting area that's going to really, I think, do a lot of work in the coming years as well. And I think a lot of good things are going to come out of that. Okay, so then we'll go back into the practice now. So again, we'll do the practice with the Shavasana, and the beginning stage of the practice, we'll do a little bit this day review, but maybe just as a starting point, we'll just pick one positive and one negative thing from today, okay, as a starting point, and then we'll go into our, continue the practice in the Shavasana posture. So if you'd like to find that nice, comfortable posture. Do you prefer some more lights off, or is that okay? You prefer to switch them off, then switch them off. I think over there is some switches. Okay. That's it. So that's good. One light. So again, lying flat on the back, hands a little bit away from the body, slightly, palms facing upwards, and the feet a little bit apart as well. Allow your awareness to descend into your body. Becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. In particular, becoming aware of the sensations where your body is touching the cushion. Using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. Bringing your awareness to the area of your face, softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face. The mouth and jaw soft and relaxed. All the muscles around the eyes soft and relaxed. Forehead open and spacious. In this way, allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. allowing the breathing to flow naturally and effortlessly. With each out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen, happily releasing them. Allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Simply focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Then we can begin by reviewing our day. How did our day go today? And then notice if there were any negative or harmful behaviors that we engaged in today. Anything we thought, said, or did. That was not very beneficial. And then focus in on one in particular, one that you found a little bit disturbing. And replay it in your mind. And then develop some sincere regret for having done that action. Reaffirm the positive direction that you wish to follow your life. And then think of some sort of practical remedy for that negative behavior. And then make a strong resolution not to do that negative behavior again for whatever period of time you can manage. Now focus on the positive things that you've done today. Positive thoughts, words, or actions. And then pick one of the positive actions that you're particularly happy with. And rejoice in that behavior. Make a strong determination to continue to engage in such behavior. And then also review the day in terms of any positive behavior that you saw in other persons. And rejoice in that behavior. And now go back to focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Using the out-breath as an opportunity to relax more deeply. And to release any thoughts that may have arisen. So relaxing and releasing on every out-breath. Focusing on the breathing during each in-breath. in conclusion, we can dedicate all the positive potential we've gathered through all of our activities today towards the goal of cultivating mindfulness and emotional balance. In particular, dedicating towards overcoming and effectively dealing with anger, and towards cultivating loving kindness and compassion towards ourselves and others. So again, in your own time, you can slowly finish the meditation. And again, rolling onto one side. And then very gently and slowly sitting up.